There's an old Jewish joke. Now, Jewish jokes are sometimes you roll around on the floor laughing once in a while, and sometimes they're very dry. Okay, so if I get a little chuckle out of you this morning, I'm happy with just that. Okay, or what do they call it? A sympathy laugh or something? Yeah, yeah. All right, all right. A poor Jewish farmer asked his rich neighbor if he could borrow his donkey. "I'm sorry, neighbor," said the well-to-do farmer, "but my donkey is over in the pasture now." At that very moment, the hee-haw of a donkey was heard coming from the stable. "What a foolish excuse to give me," said the poor farmer angrily. "Why, just now, your donkey has brayed from its stall." The rich farmer became offended. "Whom would you rather believe?" he asked indignantly. "Me or some stupid donkey?" All right. Thank you. Good, good, that's good. All right, okay, now you're overdoing it. Okay, so so look, we get into our little things. We don't want to help people, right? We get into our worldly way of thinking about things, to be honest, where the answer to am I my brother's keeper becomes no. The answer should be yes, right? I need to take care of my brother's. Scripture makes that clear, even though God doesn't answer Cain's question right then and there with a resounding yes. You look at Scripture, the answer is yes. You take care of your brothers and your sisters, okay? But we get into our little bubble. That's my donkey, not his. The donkey could get hurt on the way, this or that. So we set ourselves up in our little bubble, right? And then, but maybe we extend the bubble a little. Okay, and we have those that we help take care of, our friends, and then we have our enemies that we don't take care of, right? And we have those who are out for our good in our minds, and we'll happily bless them. And we'll have those on the other side of that division in our mind. Those are the people that aren't out for my good. Those are the people I don't like. Those are the people that annoy me. I want you to write now, because we all have these, okay? And I hate to admit it, but as a middle school teacher, I have them myself. The people in your life that annoy you, okay? and it could be worse than annoying. This could maybe be an absolute adversary. Somebody who's absolutely out to get you, or somebody you just build up and build up in your mind these things about them. Oh, they did this, and they said that. And look at how they did that, and they have no couth, they have no wisdom, they're mean-hearted, they're this, they're that, and we build up and build up and build up. And I want you to picture that person in your mind, whoever it might be. You know, it could be a coworker, could be somebody in your family. Unfortunately, it happens a lot in families, right? Could be, if it's somebody in the room, don't look at them. But it could be somebody in the room. And so picture that person in your mind. My task this morning is going to be to get you to love that person the way scriptures want us to love these people. Okay? From today's Torah portion, Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of him who hates you fallen down under his burden, don't leave him. You shall surely help him with it. This is not just so-and-so annoys you. This person hates you. Okay, that's what the Hebrew there means. This person hates you. You're still to go help them. That's what the Torah asks us to do, right? And there's those times where we haven't done that, okay? There's those times where we've seen they needed help, and we turned our back. I remember back in middle school, there was a bully, and he would pick on me and my friends, and one day it was after school, and he wanted a quarter to make a phone call. Back then, they had phones on walls, and just explaining for the younger ones, slots where you put a quarter in, and then you make the phone call, okay? So that's the way it was. He needed a quarter to call home or whatever it was. I told him no. And I was kind of proud of myself. Yes, I finally stood up for myself, right? Finally stood up for myself. Okay, that's a worldly way of thinking. We've got to not think the worldly way. We've got to think the biblical way. The biblical way is you bless your enemy. Okay? You bless your enemy. And we have outgrown that far less than we think, I think. I really do. I think that we have barely sometimes outgrown that way of thinking about things. Yes, I stood up for myself. What does the Bible say? The Bible says you're to help the one who hates you. You're to help the one who hates you. Yeshua says something very similar in Luke 6, 32 through 35. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive back as much. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing back, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of Ha'Elyon, you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind toward the unthankful and evil, right? He sends rain to the just and the unjust, and he shows his mercy and his compassion to the just and to the unjust. Be like your Father in heaven. You'll be sons of God. You'll be sons of God if you are loving towards those who hate you, if you're good to those who aren't good to you. I'd like to switch gears for a second and come back to this. What is the relationship between Torah and Messiah? We could have a college level class on that, okay? So I'm not going to get into the intricacies of this, but I'm going to get into one aspect. What is the relationship between Torah, between what God gave through Moses beginning on Sinai, and Messiah, okay? It's complex. There's many different angles, many things we could talk about. But I want to talk about this one thing. Matthew 5:17. Don't think that I came to destroy the law, the Torah, or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. To fill full. If Torah is the seed, Yeshua is the full-grown tree. Okay? If Torah presents the idea, Yeshua gives it its reality. Yeshua is the fullness of the Torah. It's not just that he answered the messianic prophecies. He's the fullness of all that the Torah points forward to. Okay? And if he is thus, how does he fulfill this portion that says, take care of your enemy's ox? If you see the ox or the donkey roaming about, take it back to your enemy. If you see somebody who hates you with their donkey under too heavy of a load, you're to go help your enemy. How does Yeshua fulfill that? How did Yeshua show love? Who were Yeshua's enemies that he showed that love to? Okay? Well, we know he showed his love through the cross. Who were his enemies? Romans 5, 7 through 10. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, yet perhaps for a righteous person, someone would even dare to die. Okay, maybe. Maybe somebody would die for somebody righteous. But God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we will be saved from God's wrath through him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, will we be saved by his life. Did you catch who was his enemy that he showed the love to? Me, you. We were his enemies, struggling under a weight of sin that we could not bear. Messiah fulfills the Torah of love, of loving the enemy, of helping the enemy when he shows his love toward us. We have to understand that, because without that, there's no humility. And without that humility, there's no salvation for us, because we think we can come to God. I'm not so bad. I'm not really an enemy of God. You and I, before we came to Messiah, were an enemy of God, because God gave you your mind and you used it for thinking inappropriate thoughts. God gave you your mouth and you used it to cut people down. you and I. God gave you your body. You used it to do evil deeds. I used it to do evil deeds. We were enemies of God. We were outright antithetical to his purpose and his kingdom. We were his absolute enemy. And he was the righteous one that showed love to the enemy. Colossians 1, 21 through 22. You being in past times alienated and enemies in your mind and in your evil works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and blameless before him. You don't make yourself holy by him helping his enemy, me, you. By him stopping to do that, we are now made holy. It's a complete 180. You are different now. You are different now. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. You are a daughter of God. We have to grasp this. Okay? This is not a matter of just getting the right Messiah. I've said that before. I'll say it again. It's just not a matter of doing the math, looking at the messianic prophecies, ooh, got the right one. You don't, I do. It's not that. It's a matter of humbly receiving the love he poured out for us on the cross. Understanding that we were enemies of God by our sinful ways. And humbly saying, Lord, I cannot make myself holy. I'm on the side of the road. Can't move an inch because I'm weighed down by my sins. Lord, you come and you make me holy to you. You come and you remove that baggage, that bondage. You make me your friend and your child rather than your enemy because of the cross of the Lord, the cross of Messiah through that. And we understand from Hebrews chapter 12, he considered the cross as nothing, right? That's the thrust there. He considered it as nothing for the joy set before him. What was the joy set before him? The joy set before him was you in fellowship with him, me in fellowship with him. He was happy to do it. He was happy to go through, and I'm not even going to go into the depths of the grotesqueness and the shame and the pain of hanging on a cross, of having your back whipped to that extent that you've got flesh hanging down and nails driven through your skin and your bones. He counted it as nothing because of his love for you and his love for me, for the joy set before him. He scorned the cross. And he said, I'll go through that because then I can make these people holy. And I can have them as my children. And they can be in my presence, right? And we need to understand this in humility. If you don't, you need to question your salvation. You can't just say, oh, I know who the Messiah is. Yay me, right? James says, the demons understand God. And they tremble. It doesn't mean they're saved, right? You need to not just know there's a God, you need to understand the love of God for you, that you are an enemy of God. He came down to make you his friend. And receive that. And receive that. If this is in your heart and mind, if you understand and receive the fact that you are the enemy of God who has shown grace, then how much more should we, who are recipients of that greatest love, be able to give love to those who irritate us, who annoy us, who harm us, who downright hate us. We're just extending to others what we've received from God, right? The Torah commands us to return the donkey or the ox of our enemy, to help the struggling donkey of Sona'acha, the one who hates you. Likewise, Yeshua commands us in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I'll say it one more time. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Okay, picture that person again in your mind. Okay, just having a problem with my husband, having a problem with my wife. I don't think much of them right now. Having a problem with my coworker. Don't think much of them right now. Think they're out to get me. Okay, we build up and we build up and we put them in that category. This is somebody I don't do good to, instead of the category of somebody I do good to. And God says your category of love needs to be greater than the category of the love of the world. Because that's what the world does. Even sinners love those who love them. Even sinners give to those who will give back. Right? But your love is to be like the love of God, who loves all. Who loves all, right? Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Do good. Doesn't mean just sit there and have nice thoughts about them. What are you doing to bless them? Do good to those who hate you. Okay? It's not just, I forgive them, and your job is done. Right? Forgive them and do them good. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We must respond, yes, Lord, as you have done for me, so can I do for others. Today is Valentine's Day. It's a day in which many of us will take time to honor that special person, okay? Some of you maybe do Valentine's Day, some of you maybe don't. That's up to you. But that's not good enough in our lives. What good are we doing for those who hate us? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you for even sinners love those who love them? We are called not just to love those who love us, but also to love those who hate us. I want you to pray this prayer with me. You can just do it silently in your mind. I'll do it out loud. Picturing that person or those people that you just have that problem with. Pray this. God, in what way can I show love to this person? How can I show them the love you showed me at the cross? How can I pray for them? Open my eyes to see ways to bless them. They don't need to earn your love, just like you didn't earn the Lord's love. You need to give it to them out of obedience to the Lord. Out of obedience to Torah, out of obedience to Messiah. You need to love them. I need to love them. Lord God, I pray in Yeshua's name that you would give us victory in this area. As we were your enemies, and now we are your children. We sometimes get this righteous idea of ourselves, as if we were the chosen ones because we were something special or whatever. We were not something special. We were your enemies, the scripture teaches. We were downright, outright, your enemy. And you stopped and you helped us. You came down, you died for us. You said, now I want you to be my friend. And I pray, Lord, that that be so in us, Lord God, that we can extend it freely to not just those we love, those we like, those who don't annoy us, but we can extend it to every person, Lord God, even our enemies, in love and obedience to you. In Yeshua's precious name, we all say, amen. Amen.